are listening to a special Stumptown Trade Review. Today we are sitting down with Julia Wirtz. Julia, nice to meet you.
Hi, nice to meet you too.
So you are currently on a nationwide tour promoting your new book, Drinking at the Movies. How's the tour going so far?
Well, nationwide's a bit of an exaggeration. It's good. Right now I'm just on the West Coast with Vanessa Davis, and tonight's our last one at Reading Frenzy. It's been nice. No, small. Just kind of California and New York, so.
Been an opportunity to catch up with friends on the West Coast then?
Yeah, I saw a lot of the Bay Area cartoonists who I really like. We did a reading at Comic Relief where it was like Mari Naomi, I'm going to forget everybody, Jason, Justin, it was all these people, but I haven't seen them in a while. And, you know, like Mari's got a new book coming out in the spring, I think. So it was kind of nice to just catch up and see what they're doing.
Gotcha. So we were talking before, you're not doing the Greyhound tour this time.
No, I'm doing the grown-up version, which is a car rental, which is really expensive. But I've been like saving up for it because it's kind of a present to myself, so to not have to ride, you know, Greyhound. But it's a lot more boring. Like, you know, it's just straight driving. For some reason, it took me 24 hours of driving to go from San Francisco to Portland because I went up the Highway 1 into the 101. But it was nice.
Yeah, what is it public transportation and Greyhound's the great equalizer in life, and you never know who you're going to meet there?
Yeah, it's kind of, this is rude, but it's sort of like the lowest common denominator if people are riding the Greyhound and Amtrak. And I only can say that because I ride it all the time. I actually really like Amtrak. But yeah, it's kind of like this weird mishmash of just sort of lost people.
So no falling in love on the Greyhound this time.
Oh, I don't think I ever did that.
Didn't you write about time on the Greyhound?
Made out with? Yeah, that was a far cry from any sort of romantic experience. I don't even know what happened with that. But yeah, I made out with someone on Amtrak.
So any good road stories for this trip so far?
Not really. Pretty uneventful.
Wow, crazy and grown up.
I know. I've come so far. I'm so old now.
So you talked about just sitting and listening to the radio, and music plays sort of a big role in your comics and all. You talk about the songs you heard growing up or what you listened to or what's playing. What's been on the iPod this time, or what have you been listening to a lot of lately?
I just found this band that I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's D-A-W-E-S, and it's just kind of like folksy music. A lot of that, the Abbott Brothers, and I always listen to Cat Power, which is... I don't know. I don't care. I'm just not embarrassing. And then I have like all these mixtapes that I make because the rental had a CD player, so I got all excited. And then the worst part was I went back to my mom's house and I found my old... Remember when we used to put the CDs in like the cases and everything was handwritten? So I found all these mixtapes that are labeled like from 1999 to 2003. And I was listening to them and I was like, this will be so fun. Listen to all the songs I listened to in high school. And then after two, I was like, there's probably a reason I don't listen to this music anymore. Like... Red Hot Chili Peppers were on there. Ugh, barf. But it was kind of fun to just listen to all those again. That's been fun.
So let's talk about your new book a little bit. The new book's called Drinking at the Movies. And I think the first question is, why Drinking at the Movies as opposed to Fart Party Volume 3? Why did you go for a name change here?
I questioned that myself, too, because it would have easily been called Fart Party Number 3, but I kind of wanted to separate it because I didn't want to have it sort of be a collection like the first two, which even though it follows the same story, like the exact, you know, there's a linear story in all three books, but I jump around in time a lot in the first two, and then there's some sort of fantasy ones in there, and I just kind of wanted to tell a story of moving to New York, and honestly, like, I'm just getting tired of the name Fart Party. I'm getting tired of saying, like, oh, I do a comic called Fart Party and nothing else. That's all I do. And then having to explain it. So I was kind of adding on titles. So not that that one's so much better. But.
Well, it's a little more descriptive that, you know, what you're going to find inside the book.
Yeah. Yeah, because Fart Party is completely irrelevant to what's actually in the book. So, yeah.
You know, and you talked about it, that it's telling the same, or at least going through the same timeline and telling the same story. This is, this is a more honest approach to that time in your life. Why did you decide to go back and retell it now, as you say in the beginning of the book, filling in some of the things that you left out?
Probably just because I wanted a more honest assessment of what I'm doing right now. Once I realized that I was going to keep doing this, diary comic thing, I realized I should probably almost use it as a way to keep a diary for myself. So I wanted to actually have more events in there. Like, there's so much that happened in my life during the first two private party books. I just don't even, like, I don't even mention them, you know, because that's not what I was doing then. And then I just kind of realized that I wanted to, like, keep a track of everything, so I would put it all in there. I guess it's more for myself than it is for an actual concept or an audience. It's just a diary.
One of the things that you talk about in this book that, I don't know, was a little surprising was a time in rehab. Why did you decide to go and share that? Because, I mean, that's something really personal that you're just putting out there for public consumption.
Actually, I don't mention rehab in the book. That was on the internet.
Sorry.
No, it's, you know, it's the same thing. That's even more, I think, a little, that's almost worse place to announce it. I talked about it. I had a big debate with myself, like, am I going to talk about it? Am I not going to mention it at all? And I eventually decided that it happened, and this is what I do with my work. I just tell what happened, so fuck it. So I'm just going to go ahead and put it all in there, and, you know, I waited a while till I told people actually that I went, because it was a while ago. So I had like a little bit of distance, but not a lot, and probably not enough. But you know, it happened, and I don't care. At first I was like, oh, I don't want anyone to know. But then I was like, who cares? Who cares if they know? I don't care. So hopefully no one else does.
And friends and family have been positive and supportive of it?
Yeah, especially people who knew me in real life. It was something that needed to be done to have things change, especially like changed my outlook on kind of on everything, on the way I live my life and my personality. And it was just a long time coming, so I think that everyone's pretty supportive. I haven't really had anyone say anything negative. Some people don't really understand. They're kind of like, oh, no, you're not going to be fun anymore because, you know, you're not a mess. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't care if they think I'm not fun anymore anyways, but... what to do with this kind of information anyways.
So, yeah, I mean, what's the best way to put this? How do you show people that you're not necessarily Julia Wirtz, the cartoon character in Fart Party, and you're actually a three-dimensional person who's able to function in society?
Why, thank you. It's a little bit difficult only because I'm not very... I can be very closed off when I first meet people in social situations because I'm not very comfortable socially at first. I've gotten a lot better in the last 6 months. But I'm definitely not like my character. I kind of see my character as this very misanthropic, cantankerous sort of person. And frankly, I wouldn't want to be friends with that person. But that's who I was at the time. I was the worst. And I sort of hope that when people meet me in person, they can realize that I'm not really like that. Like, I'm much more positive than I used to be. But, this is something I talk with other cartoonists about. Like, you know, when people meet someone whose work they admire, do they kind of, like, view their work differently then? And I think that probably is true in my case because I'm not so much like my character. Like, my character is the worst aspects of myself. But, I mean, there's not really anything I can do about it. You know, I am who I am. And if people want to think that I'm that person, then, you know, that's fine. Hopefully they enjoy it, but...
Yeah, I think on your latest blog post, you were talking about how you were doing... Or no, it was an interview you did. You talked about how you were doing a reading, and you threw in some of your more recent stuff, and how there was just crickets afterwards. And
Yeah, the reading in Atomic Books. That was the first time I read this comic about dreams, like dream history, and it references going to rehab and like realizing I had a... drinking problem, and I hadn't really ever read that out loud in front of anyone, and I kind of just put it on the internet a couple months ago, and then I felt sort of awkward. I feel like I put everyone in an awkward position because these parties are very boozy, and I don't mind at all being around people who are drinking. It's like, it's not even a big deal, but I think that because the year I had gone before to Atomic Books, like I was drinking then, everyone was drinking, so this sort of what people were expecting this year, you know, especially if they don't really follow the comic online and they just go to every winter once a year. So then no one talked to me afterwards, and I was like, oh, no, everyone's going to hate me. I'm not going to have any friends. And then I talked to some people afterwards, and they were like, well, we just didn't come up because we were drinking, and we thought that would be uncomfortable for you. But, like, I really don't care. So I kind of wanted to start talking about that to put it out there. Like, I don't mind at all. So if people want to talk to me, like, go ahead. I mean, if they don't want to, that's totally legit too. But definitely, hopefully it won't be as awkward in the future.
So, you know, now that the whiskey bottle is put aside and you're no longer asking your fans to send you, you know, whiskey or whatever, what is it that people should be sending you? Cupcakes, donuts? What is the new comfort food, if you will?
Someone actually just sent me these red velvet cake bombs, and I kind of had this little crisis about whether or not I was going to eat them because they were individually wrapped, and I was like,
okay, I was going to ask you that because you put this on and you're like, red velvet cake bombs are the best. And I mean, I love red velvet cake, but what is a red velvet cake bomb?
I guess it's like if you take a red velvet cake and then you mash it, basically just do the whole cake, and then you mash it up with this cream cheese, extra cream cheese frosting, so you can kind of put it in a ball. And then you like thicken it and then dip it in melted white chocolate, and then it becomes like a cake lollipop. And it's so good. But they're really, really bad for you. I ate so many, and then I felt completely insane. But those are really good, but I don't know if it's a good idea to be eating, you know, homemade packaged things that someone sent you through the mail.
Yeah, wasn't there a rule against that in school, too? Nothing homemade?
Right, because there could be razor blades in them. You know, I ate them anyways because I have no willpower whatsoever. I can't just have cake there and not be eating it. But, you know, they're not fine.
Free food's always good. So you've also shown a little bit, just peeks on your blog about upcoming projects that you have that look a little different than what you've put out before, and have kind of a different tone to them. So what's going on with your upcoming projects?
Well, the next book I want to do is a follow-up to Drinking at the Movies, so that's very similar. I'll probably talk about rehab in that one. And then whatever happened in, you know, the following 2 years in New York. But I'm ultimately aiming towards this very long family memoir that focuses a lot on my childhood. And that's very different in the sense that it's not set up as with punchlines. It's just that'll be on running, and it won't be sort of 9-panel, you know, 1-to-3-page comics. But that's a much larger beast to tackle, so I'm kind of putting it off for a while. But that's that one.
Any delving into fiction, or are you going to stick with the biographical, historical, autobiographical?
You know, I've thought about it before. I'm not that good at it because I think that I'm only really good at deriving material from things that I've gone through. And when I try to sort of delve into fiction, it seems a little bit forced. But I think that's just because I'm not, practiced in it. And I just really like memoir. I like autobio stuff. I was talking to Vanessa about this. Someone had said, like, well, you know, autobio cartoonists should try fiction because otherwise it's like unimaginative them just to draw from what they know. And I think that that's bullshit because it's not that you're not imaginative. It's just that that's what you're comfortable with and that's what you're sort of good at working with. And it's just an interest thing. Right now I just don't have an interest in fiction, but maybe when I run out of good stuff to write about.
All right. Well, thank you very much for agreeing to sit down with me.
Thank you. Thanks for coming all the way out here from the other side of town.
Well, thanks for coming out here from, you know, New York, so it all worked out. So you've been listening to Stumptown Trade Review, your online resource for independent trades and commerce.